Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com and the study of Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 through 13, titled, Work Out Your Own Salvation. If you have any questions, comments, or prayer requests, you can send those by email to bbbfohio@yahoo.com or send them by U.S. Postal to P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio, 43085. And now we begin our study of Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 through 13, titled, Work Out Your Own Salvation. This is part 1 of 2.
The idea is that you come here faithfully, you learn verse by verse, you read your Bible at home faithfully, and over the period of time, you grow.
Amen.
Amen. It's very simple. Amen. Very simple technique that the Lord came up with 2,000 years ago that most Christians totally ignore. And you'll find that what we're dealing with today are Christians ignore God.
Yeah.
And what Christians are told to do, they don't do, and they come up with their own ideas. They think they're smarter than Jesus. And at this church, one of the reasons we're small is because we don't think we're smarter than Jesus and we don't fit into the crowd.
Amen.
But we're going to keep doing it God's way. Amen?
Amen.
Now, I'd like to open with a word of prayer. Father, we just ask that you help us as we study. Help me to teach. And may the Holy Spirit be the teacher that helps folks remember what is according to thy word and to forget anything I say that isn't. Lord, I pray that everyone listening is a Berean. We'll check everything I teach and everything any human being teaches against the Word of God. And if it doesn't match up, then we throw it out.
Amen.
But when it does match up, we submit. And Lord, what a difference it would make if the American church would stop being so stiff-necked, so self-consumed and esteeming themselves, and start esteeming the Word of God.
Amen.
We need a wave of repentance to sweep over the land.
Amen.
And until then, we're just going to continue to see what we're seeing now, full-out apostasy. And Lord, all we can do as individuals is allow this book to change us. Revival starts right here with me. And Lord, we just pray that we will be honest as we face the Word of God, make changes where they need to be made, submit where we need to submit, and always stand with the truth and preach the truth. To the glory and praise of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right, we got everything going good back there and down here and everything. All right, everybody awake? EJ's awake. Amen. If EJ can stay awake, everybody else is going to stay awake today. He hadn't slept for 24 hours. And we got Dre and... Nick, you're supposed to be back behind him, so you're slapping him back the head if he starts to nod off. Okay, Daddy's going to do that. Okay. Thank you for that. Philippians 2, 12 and 13, work out your salvation. That's what we're going to title this. We want to give you a little letter we love as you guys get to settle in there in that text. Whoops, what happened? This is from someone named Sion. Hey, hello, Pastor. I just want to thank you and your church for being available for viewing via YouTube. What a great blessing your channel has been for me. I don't have a church here in Darwin. That's Darwin, Australia. That I know that isn't legalistic and isn't licentious at the same time. It seems to me you have something really good going on there, balanced teaching of truth and grace, mercy and judgment.
Amen.
I am in Darwin, Australia. Unlikely that I can come to the U.S. in these end times. I would like to ask you if you have any thoughts on where we are in the season of birth pangs. Do we have more or less than 3 years before the rapture happens?
Amen.
Yours sincerely, Sion. And my answer to that that I'd share with everybody is, I'm hoping it's tonight.
Amen.
And we don't have to wait on anything for the rapture. It could happen at any moment.
You can come right now.
Amen.
Amen.
The only thing where those birth pangs are showing you we're getting close. We got to be close, but it
Amen.
Could happen at any moment. But we love that letter. Sion, if you're watching or listening, God bless you. Thank you for that.
Amen.
And we get letters like that, and I need to share more often. But there you
Amen.
Go. All right. Work out your salvation. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 and 13. In light of the incarnation and the judgment to come, that's where we left off in our studies, we should be motivated. That should drive you. If you're really letting God's Word get to you right now, you're going to be busy serving the Lord.
Amen.
That's the bottom line. Read verse 12 with me. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. So we should be motivated to work.
Amen.
That's not a real exciting message for the world today, is it? It's not. You're not going to sell many books with that title. That word work is treated like a four-letter word by most professing Christians today. Why? Because they take the fact of grace and they use it as a battering ram against works.
Yeah.
And that grace does not do away with works.
Amen.
The message of grace is that you deserve hell, but you can be saved, not of works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. And being saved by grace should result in a life of dedicated service to the Lord.
Amen.
That's what it's supposed to do.
Amen.
The serious, mature Christian wants to work for Jesus.
Amen.
And, you know, it's not to be saved, but because you are saved.
Amen.
Something funny happened to me when I got saved. I stopped being a lazy, good-for-nothing bum. Amen. Before I was saved, my mom and dad had to just beg and threaten. They'd beg. Mom would try to beg, and most of the time dad would threaten. Or then mom would threaten that dad was going to take his belt off. And then I got to be so old, you know, as a teenager, the belt just doesn't scare a teenager too much. And they would just come on. Why do we have to go through this every time you got to cut the grass? And, you know, why won't you just take the garbage out? You know, they gave me free room and board. They fed me. And at that time, I ate a whole lot more than I do now. And I didn't balloon out like I do now. I don't know, something about age. You hit 30 or 40, you eat half and it turns into triple. But I ate. I mean, grocery bill, you know, I didn't appreciate how much money my mom and dad were spending on my food and everything. But when I got saved, I suddenly wanted to do what I ought to do.
Amen.
I suddenly wanted to work. And I didn't want to be asked and have to be yelled at and screamed at in order to do things. Now, in this message today, you're going to have to get used to what I hope you've gotten used to over the years if you listen to me. I'm just going to be honest with you. If you're lazy, you're backslidden.
Yeah. Amen.
I'm going to look at everybody so no one thinks I'm picking on them. Everybody, look at me. Olivia, look at me. It's true. If you're lazy, you're backslidden. If you are not wanting to serve the Lord, and you say, well, that's not cutting the grass. Yes. Because everything you do, we've already covered this. You're supposed to work as unto the Lord.
Amen.
Back in Ephesians, we talked about that. You work as unto the Lord. So when it comes to cutting the grass, you're not saying, okay, Mom, I'll cut the grass. You're saying, yes, Lord, I'll cut the grass.
Amen.
And, you know, when you get a job and you're working for somebody and you're always trying to find ways to get out of work.
Yeah.
I used to work for the state of Ohio. About 10% of the people there work.
Yeah.
And I hope it goes out. And I hope the people at the state of Ohio hear this. Because you're wasting your tax money. Most of the people on the state tax roll need fired.
Amen.
They don't work. And they spend most of their time trying to find ways to get out of work. And most of those people, if they spend all that energy working instead of trying to get out of work, you would not even recognize this state anymore.
Amen.
It would run so smoothly. It would be unimaginable. But that's the way most people are even in the private sector. You go get a job, and what you'll find is if you work hard, other people will try to just dump their work on you.
Yeah.
They'll spend more time trying to get you to do their job than them doing their jobs.
Amen.
But you know what? That's what you're going to have. You have to get used to that. As a Christian, you have a work ethic. The pagans don't.
Yeah.
Pagans have a motivation, and they'll work when they need to in order to make more. They'll work when they need to get something. It's all self-motivated. See? But as a Christian, you're just supposed to work as unto the Lord. Somebody didn't listen. I'm just joking. Notice that it doesn't say work for your salvation.
Amen.
Did you notice that? Look at your Bible. You got your Bible open? If not, open it. It says work. Somebody don't know how to work their phone. We're going to have to give phone lessons. Work for your salvation. No, it says work out your salvation.
Amen.
Now get that. Read the end of verse 12 again. It says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And then we'll have a laying on of hands, Sean's phone, and cast that devil out. Brother, I am right there with you. I cannot get my phone to do the things it's supposed to do, but I can turn the ringer off. At least I got that conquered. Anyway, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now, there's so much in that verse that's twisted today in the church. Certain groups purposely misquote this text. One thing is that the groups will say you are to work for your salvation. I've actually sat in that pew just like you are. Little churches just like this. Church buildings where preachers are up there hacking away and he says, and as the Bible says, you have to work out your salvation. So don't tell me there's no works in salvation. I'm not kidding you. That's what they said.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, there's works as a result of salvation.
Amen.
It never says you work for your salvation. You work out your salvation, not work for your salvation. And that's where Satan does this. Look at that one little word, the word out. Change it to for. And you've totally destroyed. Work out your salvation does not mean work for your salvation. They're not the same thing. Huh? Yeah. It just destroys everything you've ever learned about salvation by changing that. It's called the Ephesian equation. Turn to Ephesians. We've studied this some time ago, but a little reminder. It says you're a good minister if you put folks in remembrance of these things. Ephesians chapter 2, very familiar text, but they usually lop off verse 10 where it talks about where works fit in. Ephesians chapter 2, beginning verse 8, read that with me. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. God saved you so that you'd stop being a lazy bum. Amen. God saved you, puts His Spirit in you. His Spirit is one of action. The Spirit of God moves. Lazy bums are not saved or they are backslidden. That's your only two choices. Lazy bums need saved or they need to get right with God. They're a Christian who's not acting like a child of God. That's not talking about when you're, you know, down your back because you're so sick or, you know, something legitimate like that. But most of the Christians I know have no excuse for the fact that they produce nothing in a lifetime. They have no excuse. And that's where works fits in. I'm just make it practical. I don't ever want people to think I don't put things down on the, you know, plate level with a fork in your hand. I'm going to give you some examples. This is one thing I heard early on in my walk with the Lord that was very helpful to me. Because we take for granted everybody knows what to do if they want to serve the Lord. Not everybody does. Here's 10 ways to work out your salvation. Read and study God's Word constantly. Coming to church and learning so that when you go home you can read your Bible and you can study it. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God. There you go, working as unto the Lord, even in your Bible study. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's the study part. Not just reading it, but really digging in and studying it. And there is no other way. Just write that down. You're not going to grow in the Lord. I don't care how much you say you are growing in the Lord. You're not growing in the Lord if you're not growing in the Word. It's just the way it works. That's like saying you have all the nutrients you need, but you never eat. Did you see the woman a couple years ago who died of starvation because she thought she could live off air?
What?
Yeah, it's a real story. Look it up. She was one of these New Age, you know, goofballs. And she got convinced that, you know, everything we needed was in the air. And she just breathed and she'd, you know, she'd die of starvation. Number two, preach the gospel to lost people. It's an outgrowth. Work out your salvation. Just like when you fall in love, you want to talk about her. You want to talk about him if you're a girl. And you want to, and you'll drive people crazy. People don't want to hear it. But you can't help it. You got to talk about them. And, you know, I was more than happy to sit and listen when any of the kids want to talk about the person they were dating or talking to, courting, whatever you want to call it. And, you know, I wasn't always interested, but I'd listened. And then but then I was glad I listened to, you know, I did listen. And I was glad I did because then when they came around, at least I knew something about it. And so I didn't, you know, feel like I didn't know anything about them. But, you know, that's actually healthy for their relationship. It's healthy. That's why, to this day, I like to talk about Jenny. I try not to talk too much about her, but I talk about her. I like to talk about, I love my little Jenny. And my social media, a number of my posts will be about Jenny. I know most people don't care. I don't care. I'm still going to post it. Well, when I'm not banned, that's true. But I go to gab.ai and I post there. No, three or four people still see it. I do some on Twitter to this point. I think their days are numbered as well. They're all part of the CIA and the government, all in lockstep with the New World Order and all that. But and Gab, as far as I know, isn't, but we'll see. But anyway, you preach the gospel, it's the same thing. It does something to you. That's not necessarily the motive to do it. You preach the gospel because you're serving the Lord, but you watch as you, any of you who have done it can tell me that you know what I'm talking about. When you talk to somebody about Jesus, you come away and you just feel closer to Him. It's just how it works. Number three, hand out gospel tracts. You say, well, isn't that preaching the gospel? Well, yes, but there should be a time where you talk. There are times where you can't, or the person isn't ready to listen, and you can hand them a gospel tract. And then what happens then? Well, then you pray for others. See how that goes together. When you preach the gospel or you give a gospel tract, you'll find yourself praying for that person.
Amen.
You'll find yourself praying for those people. You come away from tracts or treats. If we just done a normal trick-or-treat thing, we talked about, oh, there was some cute kids, and there were some kids that weren't cute. And you know, talk like that. But we come away saying what? Lord, please use those tracts that those kids got. Let them read them and even their parents. And use the gospel. See how that works? You just got closer to the Lord. Because praying, not just your own needs, but praying for others. Encourage others. Those of you who send me an email or a letter or anything like that, you don't know. I mean, it's just such an encouragement to me. But that's true about every Christian. And so you see, like Martha over there in her house, and I haven't been able to get over there for a month. I just have been sick, and I was out of town for a little while and everything. But any of you get an opportunity, even if you just swing by for 5 minutes. And it's an encouragement. Send her a little card or a letter or something. Send her a phone call. Send her a text. Anything. And that's what you should do for anyone. Help others when you can, and it's the right thing to do. I mean, and I'm talking about really helping them. I'm saying, you know, somebody needs a coat or a hat, needs some shoes, and they legitimately aren't spending their money at the casino, and they legitimately need something. Now, you can't do that unless you get to know them. But you get to know people, you'll find out they may have some needs, and you can meet those needs, and then you should. Amen. Number seven, do some work at the church building. We'll be here November 11th from 8, 9 to noon. Yeah, amen. You, you humble yourself and let me just say this. You don't have to have your name, you know, announced and everybody. Now, sometimes we've thanked people. They've gone over and above and we've thanked people for coming in and doing stuff. But you should just do it. Whether someone announces, oh, you know, he's so wonderful what he does and everything. You shouldn't need that. This is about you and the Lord. And the more you do this stuff and actually don't get publicly awarded for it, you're going to find it really does motivate you. The only time this becomes a danger is when Christians act like those state workers I was telling you about, and only about 10% of the Christians do all the work. Then they start, those 10%, they're human. They can't help but feel a little used and abused and taken advantage of. Everybody, you know, and that's why I don't say it to be mean, but not just here. When I say stuff like, you know, leaving dirty Kleenexes around or making a mess and not picking up after yourself unless you're 11 months old, that's different. But, you know, doing things like that. The restrooms, Janice will tell you, those can get so nasty. It shouldn't be like that. Clean up after yourself. Turn around and look at what you just did, and if you left something behind, clean it up. Amen, Janice? Come on. Amen. She was in the ladies' room helping clean that up, and it just shouldn't be like that. And we appreciate you. I know I just said we're not always going to do that, but I'm going to say it right now. Getting better. So the preaching's starting to stick. Amen. Here's a big one. Some of you walk out on me. Give 10% plus of God's money back to Him. Amen. I said it. It's not a law. And if you don't want to do it, then don't. And if you can't do it with joy, don't do it. But if you're a real Christian who really loves the Lord and you have used common sense and paid your bills and set up a budget, you should be able to give 10% of your money to the Lord. Okay? And you can't. That's between you and the Lord. But there's always going to be a little thing between you and the Lord, because most people, and this isn't everybody, but most people who don't give 10% or more of their income can. And they don't. They're cheapskates with God. And I'm just up here saying that's the way it is. And if you ain't giving 10%, and it doesn't mean you may give less than 10% here because you're funding missions or something like that. That's between you and the Lord. But what I'm saying is, that's between you and the Lord. And that'll hurt your relationship. It's just like with your spouse. If you are not giving what you should to the marriage, and if you're not really putting your effort into, you know, loving one another and serving one another and all that, your marriage is going to be bad. And your relationship with the Lord is no different. If you're a cheapskate and you can't give 10% of the money that God gave you back to Him, then your relationship with the Lord is going to suffer. And you know what? I get it. Some of you people are probably already writing me emails out on the internet land. And you know what? Shove it up your nose. Because I know some of you people. And you're pathetic. You're miserable. You don't serve the Lord. And then I preach on this and suddenly you get holy energy. Now think about that. Some of these people out there are doing nothing for the Lord, but when they hear somebody mention money, that's your God. Yeah. I'm not pointing at Jitty, I'm pointing at the camera. That's what I'm telling you. Some of these fundamentalists who act all holy, tithing is under the law. Well, it is. Tithing, storehouse tithing is under the law. But giving 10% was before the law. And giving 10% should be the minimum. I'm worse than the law up here. I'm telling you, by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, and you ought to be thankful, and you ought to show some gratification. You should say, Lord, I'll give as much as I can. To Bible Believers Fellowship? No, to the Lord. And that means you, if you don't attend here, whatever church you attend, whatever missions they support, maybe you have your own missions you want to support. But that's where it is. Number 9, here's another one Christians today don't want to do because they want to be liked by everybody. But if you want to work out your salvation, fight the wicked and make trouble for the devil. Amen, amen. Amen. You don't have to be nasty about it. But just this couple days ago, had a queer send me a text. And he says, I want you to counsel me or something. Tried to sound spiritual, saying that Satan has kept him off the path of God, blah, blah, blah. I knew right away. Just something about the way people talk. I told Jenny, I can tell whether they're trying to sound spiritual or they really are spiritual. But I said, well, he wanted personal counsel. I said, you feel free to come to our services, 11 a.m. Sunday. Go to bbfohio.com. It'll give you directions and everything. Oh, and then he says, would it be all right if I brought my boyfriend? All I did in response was copy and paste Romans chapter 1, verses 18 to 32. You know what he called that? Hateful Bible verses. I didn't say a word. I just posted the scripture. And then he came back with some other snarky remark and I blocked his text. That's all I know. That's all you have to do, folks. All you have to do is quote the Word of God. You don't even have to ad lib anything. And take a stand against this wicked sodomite world we live in. Hand it over to the sodomites. They have fallen in love with what God wiped out. Think of that. We live in a world where your friends and loved ones, by and large, if they're like mine, are in love with what God burned with fire.
Yeah.
And they dare you to take a stand with God on that issue. I'll be standing right there. That's how you work out your salvation. Stand with God and fight the people that He is going to destroy. You preach the gospel, and if they won't repent and they become proactively wicked and evil, they are your enemy because they're God's enemy. Stand against them. Fight. And some of you need to get used to that. That's Bible Christianity. You've been listening to this Laodicean lukewarm fake Christianity for too long. You're a fighter. Paul said, I fought the good fight.
Amen.
People die and have their funerals and some limp-wristed little wet noodle preacher gets up there and talks about how they fought the good fight. The only thing they fought was their own lust. They fought their own desires for wickedness and sin. They didn't fight the wicked. They didn't take a stand against the wicked. They spent their life bootlicking. They didn't get out there on the fighting edges and say, no, I will not go along with the world. They cowered in fear, got behind something and said, I just don't want to be, I don't want people to, I don't want them to think I don't like them. I want to get along with everybody. That's not fighting the good fight, you wimp.
Amen.
You get the fire of God in you. Acts chapter 1 verse 8 says, you will receive power to be my witnesses.
Amen.
So what's that mean? That means if you won't fight the wicked, if you won't take a stand with us who are standing against the wicked, then you don't have the Spirit of God.
Amen.
Something wrong with your profession or possession. You know, you take a devil-possessed person, what do they do? Well, according to the movies, their head spins and they vomit pea soup. But according to the Bible, there is some of that. But they you know what the people who are filled with the spirit of the devil do? They're activists.
Yeah.
They spend their lives fighting. Go to their Facebook pages. And I'm not talking about the Hollywood freaks and the politicians. Well, of course they do that. I'm talking about our friends and relatives. Put up their queer flags on front of their face on Facebook, taking a stand with the wicked. So why can't we stand with the righteous? Supposed to be sick. Number 10, rebuke heretics and expose false teachers. Do you know the Bible says these words about heretics? Rebuke them sharply. Less than 1% of the Christians I know have ever obeyed that. I mean, this is supposed to be that way, Johnny. The Bible says it, and we're just supposed to do it. We're not supposed to think about it, even.